Welcome back to the other segment of financial management. In this chapter, we will look at how to manage working capital. And as we know, the management of working capital is actually a seesaw exercise for the finance head. On one hand, he has to ensure that the material and other facilities are available for business whenever they require. And on the other hand, the quantum of funds that are required for these material and other facilities have to be kept at the bare minimum. So therefore, there's a constant planning and execution and oversight required to manage the working capital. And hence, there's a separate chapter for this, and we need to understand this in much more detail. The objective, learning objectives of this chapter would be, we will look at the short term and the long term impact of working capital in the overall business growth. What are the components of working capital? How do you determine working capital requirement for your company? Optimal level of working capital that is to be required. How do you arrive at that optimal level? Impact of industry and economy on working capital. And how do you get the funds which are required to finance the working capital? So we start with an overview of the working capital, why it is important and why is it critical. It is critical primarily because of two characteristics. Investment in current assets represents substantial portion of funds blocked in total assets. That's because long term, you know, unless it's a capital intensive industry, otherwise majority of the funds are blocked in the working capital short term requirement. And there is hardly any time to, you know, make a big decision, think about it, evaluate data and things like that. The time for decision is so short that you have to be constantly on your toes, and your decision could make or break business at this point of time. Therefore, the working capital management from a finance head point of view is so critical. We look at what are the kind of levels of current assets and liabilities that you need to achieve, why you will need that level, what is the growth potential of the business, how is the activity changing, things like that. And again, as we explained before, we do not have time for doing a historic in-depth analysis, looking at various scenarios. You have to be already ready with various scenarios and decisions that you will take for it. So working capital management is concerned with the problems which arises in attempting to manage the current assets, current liabilities, and most importantly, the interrelationship that exists between them. From a definition point of view, we really say working capital means excess of current assets over current liabilities. Refers to an all aspects of administration of both current assets and current liabilities. So we have to look at excess of current assets over current liabilities, and therefore we have to dig deeper into what are the current assets and what are the current liabilities and how do we administer it. So to start with, we look at the current assets and how a finance manager has to decide what kind of inventory has to be maintained and how does he or she gets funds to pay for it. And again, unlike the long-term decisions have to be arranged on the spot and cannot be deferred, or else there could be an immediate loss in forms of delayed deliveries and lost customers. And long-term decisions involving plant, machinery, opening a new branch, product line determines the eventual growth and success of a business entity. But a correct short-term decisions on working capital determines whether the firm gets to the long-term or not. So both are important. From a long-term point of view, long-term decisions like opening of branches, new production line, etc. So are very important. But all this has to be backed with day-to-day working, everyday decisions. And if these decisions are not made right, then the long-term investment may really not happen. We get into details of working capital. So working capital is looked at from a two scenarios. What is the gross working capital requirement and the net working capital requirement. So gross working capital that you require consists of all current assets that normally should self-liquidate in a period of 1 year or less than a year. and these includes inventory in form of raw materials, work in process, sub-assemblies, finished goods in factory, as well as firm's various warehouses if it has, spare parts that it keeps for sale, and maintenance and supplies, trade receivables, fixed deposits, loans and advances, cash and bank balance on hand. Current liability consists of trade payables that increase or decrease with the volume of purchase that you do and are defined by the prevailing terms of payment agreed with vendors for materials and services, and trade advances, short-term borrowings both from commercial bank and other lenders. Cash management. Managing of this most liquid and non-earning asset is very important and is now become sometimes an art and a science in the electronic age. We always have been learning about the virtues of cash, but today the chief financial officer is has to ensure that this virtue or cash in hand is kept at bare minimum, because it's an idle asset. If you are not able to place it well, you will not gain anything out of it, and therefore it will impact your overall returns on the equity employed. And also, the contra view to that is that you cannot be in a situation where you don't have cash to pay to your vendors when is required. So therefore, this constant tug of war has to be done by the CFO to ensure that you neither have lot of idle cash nor you have so less cash that you can't meet the liability if it comes out. So cash flow cycle, a very simplified version, actually it's much more complex than this, is from the customer you get sales. From sales, if you have a credit policy, you get trade receivables, which is then converted into cash once you receive the money. From this cash, you buy inventory, make the goods, and again become sales. These cash flows are planned through cash budgets, so they consider payment patterns of customers over a period of few years, the time interval between suppliers and creditors that need to deposit check, efficiency with which the receipts and payments are processed by your banker. In reality, as already explained, the above diagram is much more complex. How do you manage receipts and disbursement? So the efficient method to handle receipt is to collect the checks and other instruments right from the customer location, and then using the bank's technological advantage, you get them electronically transferred to your account. That means you do not wait for the check or other instrument to come to you centrally and then deposit with the bank, and it will take its own time. You directly use the bank's cash management services or trade management services, and using the today's technology, get the money in matter of hours instead of days. At the same time, your disbursement, that means payment to your vendors and such parties, you try to centralize it so that you are able to manage the payment accordingly, and you can prioritize your payment whenever required. So why do current assets grow? Why do you need why can't it be stable, and therefore you know every time how much money is required, and why does it change over a period of time? So current assets are supposed to be self-liquidated. When you are doing one product, one factory, when her warehouse, the result is you get raw materials which you do some work, you make it into a finished product, and then you sell it. But what happens when you grow? You have more products, you have more factories, you store at more warehouses, and you sell from more outlets. And therefore, unless you are alert and successful in managing your inventory, all of it which not automatically gets converted into final products and sold, you will face problem associated with funds which are blocked in slow or a non-moving inventory. So at the start of the business, this is how you take raw materials, you make work on it, then you start selling. It's a self-depreciating cycle. Over a period of time, you again have sold everything and you start working, and it comes down. However, as the business grows, some part of your current assets become permanent, like stocks waiting at warehouse to be shipped to the outlet, stock waiting at an outlet to be sold to the customer. some of the inventory lying to be converted into finished product in different factories. Therefore, this becomes a permanent cost, and therefore this cost is increasing. And this happens because of increase in sales, product line, locations, customers and their preferences. You need to have an efficient working capital management system, and it depends on the finance manager's ability in quantifying A to B with a high degree of accuracy. So this part then either stays dormant condition or gets obsolete. There could be part of inventories which will not liquidate at all because there could be miscalculation, the pattern of manufacture may change, or the customer demand has changed, and therefore you have made the product ready, there is no demand from the customer, so those kind of products will lie idle and over a period of time get obsolete. One has to forecast the working capital requirement, because that's how you will then find funds to fund it. So it's very important, you need to be as close to accurate as possible, and therefore the finance manager has to now take a step back from a finance function, and he has to interact with all the other managers in the supply chain management, workflow management, which will always include or will always include marketing managers, material managers, so that sales managers, depending on the size of business, so that you know what kind of materials are required, when it is required, what kind of payment terms you will have negotiated, how you will ensure that it gets sold, through which channel it will get sold, whether you will have your own outlet or you will do a franchisee model and things like that. And this has to become a trend. So every quarter, every month, you will see how successful you are as per your plan. Do you need to change your plan, or is there a change in external environment which will force you to change your plan, and therefore you will have to work accordingly. So for example, auto industry, the activity is very intense just before the festive seasons, and obviously then that extends to the festive season. However, let's say in a rainy season, the activity slows down, and therefore your working capital requirement moves differently during the festival season and a non-festival season in the auto industry world. So what is an ideal level of gross working capital? So another decision which a finance head has to deal with is what kind of working capital policy will you execute for that company. You have two choices. You can either be very liberal or you can control it very strictly. If one is very liberal, the outcome of liberal policy would mean that there will be a lot of inventories available, you will have a liberal customer credit, and therefore you will need a larger working capital. If you go through a strict control, then you will try to go into just-in-time inventory. You will have a very strict credit control, and therefore you will require less working capital. But all these decisions have an impact on the growth of business. This is what we'll see. So if you go for flexible working capital management policy, you will not have stockouts. So you'll have zero stockout, which is good for business. You'll have liberal credit terms, which is again good for business, because you can give credit to customers, and customers can pay, they can buy now and pay later. Your production will not stop, or you will always ensure there's enough inventory. Your sales volume will grow because you're giving good credit terms. You may not have any idle time cost. However, the downside of a liberal working capital policy means you will have a very high inventory cost. It is possible that you will increase your non-moving stocks, because customer demands will change, their expectations will change, they may want more features in a product and go to competition and things like that, and that will lead to higher obsolete stocks. It can also lead to larger bad or doubtful debt. Because of liberal credit terms, the customer has bought the equipment today or the goods today, however over a period of time he finds he is not able to pay for it, and therefore you will have a larger bad or doubtful debt. On the other hand, if you go for a very strict working capital, from a finance point of view, you will require less funds in inventory. You will have few bad debts because your credit policy will be very stringent. You will only give credit to the person in your policy who is eligible for that credit. Therefore, the payment chances are very good. You will obviously require less funds in data, and because you don't invest in inventory, you will have less obsolescence. The downside of a very strict control is you could have a loss in production because of stockouts, because you are having a just-in-time principle, or very less of inventory, and in case some disaster takes place or there is some issue through which the supplier is not able to give you inventory, then you will go into stockout, and due to which you will lose production, and this may lead to lost sales because the products are not, you don't want to keep products ready because of, you want to avoid obsolescence. And if your credit policy is a little tight, then many of the customers who do not fit into it will not buy goods from you. So there is always a trade-off between cost that rise with current assets and cost will that fall with current asset to maintain an optimum level of current assets. So the cost that increases with current asset levels are called the carrying cost, which includes your interest burden, storage and obsolescence, bad debts, while that fall with the current increased level of asset levels are termed as shortage cost. That means loss of production, sales due to non-availability of required inventory, or no sales because of credit terms or not having enough inventory. So you balance carrying cost versus shortage cost. Graphically, you will have shortage cost. If your level of current assets increase, the shortage cost will keep going down and your carrying cost will keep going up as the level of current assets increase, and you will arrive at a level where the shortage cost and the carrying cost and sum of total cost is arriving at an intersection, which would then determine a right level or an optimum level of current assets in a very simplistic way. This is not true, it is very complicated and it's not easy to plot it out the way it has been plotted out here. Now, what is the working capital? To understand working capital requirement, as we discussed before, you have to understand the current assets, the decisions on policies of working capital, whether liberal or strict, and current liabilities and how do you manage it. But the behind the economic part of this current assets and current liabilities is the operating and other cycles. And therefore, to understand working capital management or working capital cycle, as it is called, a very simplistic cycle is as follows. So a company gets an order. Against that order, it issues a purchase order to get materials. It receives the materials. Then it receives the invoice from the vendor for that material. In parallel, the materials is processed into a finished goods. You pay money to the vendor. These finished goods are delivered to customer. You bill the customer and then you receive money from the customer. So this is the working capital cycle in a very simplified manner. So you have various terminologies now in that cycle. So the first is the operating cycles. So this cycle covers the period from receiving the raw material to receiving of cash from the customer. So if I can go back from this to this is an operating cycle. Trade payable cycle starts from receipt of invoice for material. So it's not about receipt of material, but when you receive the invoice and when you pay to the vendor. Trade receivable is when you issue the invoice to customer and when you get money against it. Your cash cycle actually starts when you have to pay cash to the vendor and when do you receive money from the customer. And inventory cycle is when you receive the material from vendor and you deliver the finished goods to the customer. So you have operating cycle, trade payable cycle, trade receivable cycle, cash cycle and inventory cycle. And if you really understand in little more deep, all of them have worked together in the overall operating cycle, and each sub element of this is very important in arriving at the working capital requirement. This is what measured, you start measuring it in days, and these are the formulas. So you have an inventory cycle days. So average inventory that you carry upon total cost of goods sold divided by 365 gives you inventory cycle days. Trade receivable cycle days is average trade receivable divided by total sales, again divided by 365. Trade payable cycle, so trade payables upon total cost of goods sold divided by 365. What are the factors that influence working capital? So first thing is, again, it depends on the type of business you are. If you are engaged in a heavy capital intensive industry, you require large working capital to finance inventories, which take long time for conversion into finished products. Stocks are required to be kept at various stages of the production cycle to ensure the finished products are delivered. Examples of such industries are construction industry, chemical industry, metals. On the other hand, inventories for services or small scale or customer product industry is minimal. It is observed that hotels have around 10% of their total assets in current category and rest in fixed assets. Organization structure. Some business firms organize end-to-end business activities right from procurement, processing of the item, storage of the finished goods, and then delivery to the final consumers all over the market. So they need to manage factories, warehouse, transport, and sales outlets. So because of which they require substantial working capital. Many companies just manage one part of total business operation and subcontract the rest. For example, an automaker focuses on producing car and then sell it to a few wholesaler firms who will take responsibility for their sales and distribution and delivery of customers. Under this arrangement, the inventory level and trade receivable is less complex, because then now it is the wholesaler who has to take the ownership of the same. So Indian Auto Limited, you could have an organization structure which ensures manages factory, godowns, and sales depot. And if only one organization is managing all this, you require a larger working capital. However, if only sales depots are managed by the subcontractors or dealers, as they are called, then less working capital is required by the dealer and less working capital is required by the Indian auto manufacturer. Type of production cycles. So if the production cycle is long, then you require a larger working capital. If the production cycle is small, you require a lesser working capital. Business cycle. So business cycle fluctuation. Some businesses can be cyclical or seasonal in nature, or the demand comes seasonally, and therefore during that time working capital requirement will increase, and when there is less of demand because of season, then the working capital requirement goes down. Capacity utilization. Normally business entities try to match supply of finished products to demand of its products in the market. Here our earlier rule to vary working capital with sales volume is applicable. But others with heavy investment in fixed assets, they focus on capacity utilization and prefer a steady level of production all throughout the year, because of which they require more capital during the period when this policy results in buildup of stocks for a brief period of low sales levels. So on one hand, you have business entity which tries to manage the demand and the supply. On the other hand, you have some businesses which tries to see how much capacity it has and plans for the expectation of demand. So if that demand does not come about, or for certain period of time the demand is low, then the stocks are kept in godown, and therefore the working capital requirement obviously increases. Credit policy. Credit policy, both in terms of sales and purchase, will decide the working capital, plays an influencing part in the working capital management. If you are able to take more credit from the supplier, then you have your working capital requirement to that extent is lowered. On the other hand, if you have a very tight credit policy to your sales customers, then also your working capital goes down. If you have a high credit period for your customers, then your working capital requirement obviously goes up and down. And this balancing of policies, credit days, depends on the company that you are in, the industry you are in, and the market environment for it. So if you are a producer of a product where the products are sold very fast, you may not give any credit at all. However, when you are into a product which because of competition it moves a bit slow, you'd want to give more credit period to increase sales, and therefore your working capital need will change. If you're giving more credit period, you need to increase your working capital. So this is a continuation of that. Availability of raw materials. So it is not about yourself. You want the least amount of raw materials to be there so that your working capital requirement goes down. However, you also have to see the availability of raw materials. If the raw material, for example, you are importing from outside country, you need to ensure that you have sufficient raw material so that your production is never stopped or you are operating at an optimal level, for which sometimes you will store more raw materials. However, if your raw material sourced is in the same city and you know the supply is good, there are no issues, you may want to give orders in a very staggered way so that you reduce your working capital requirement. So therefore, the availability of raw material is also very important influencing part of the working capital and how do you want to take it. Earning capacity. So how much money you're making out of your products. If your earning capacity is higher, then you can work with a conservative working capital requirement. However, if your earning capacity is not higher, then you cannot go for aggressive working capital. You have to ensure that you are you keep your working capital requirement at a bare minimum. Financing this working capital. Now we've looked at elements of working capital, we've looked what is working capital, what are the factors that are influencing it. Now how do you finance this working capital? And there is where the dichotomy comes into play, because as per the definition of working capital, you require to subtract the current liabilities from the total current assets, thereby suggesting that the firm needs an outside funding only to the extent of excess of current assets over current liabilities. But the permanent built up of current asset, as we reviewed before, like stocks kept in idle, finished goods are not sold, challenges this assumption. So selection of outside source for fund to support the firm's working capital requirement becomes a major financial decision point of the chief financial officer. We'll try to explain this graphically. So we looked how your current assets are self-liquidating. Now you have two types of assets, which is a permanent current asset, where it's stock in trade, goods lying at warehouse and things like that, and you have fixed asset. Normally for permanent current assets, if you are able to classify it well, and for fixed asset, you will use the long term funds and you will use the short term funds for your working capital requirement. However, a case where temporary current assets are financed through long term funds. So sometimes you don't have enough short term funds, so the long term fund starts supporting the working capital requirement. And because short term funds are not available in tight money market scenario, so you have to depend on the long term funds requirement. And conversely, if you the short term funds are available at a cheap rate, then you try to fund even your fixed assets and other by short term ones. So this is constantly going on. You have to see how market is, what kind of interest rates are available, short-term funds are freely available, liquidity position in the economy all dictates this, and your standing, your credit worthiness plays a big part in this. So for example, do you have a scenario of a negative working capital? Because we've always looked now at a positive working capital. So one of the possible examples where you don't require or you have a negative working capital requirement could be the retail mall such as a DMart. Here the receivables are bare minimum because all sale is done against cash or credit card. Your inventory levels are 3 or 4 days, so because you fill it up every week, and the payables 3 to 4 weeks, because large volumes the retail malls can negotiate better, and therefore their payables are more than their receivables and inventory. So they have more time on it, therefore they don't require working capital, or they have a negative working capital scenario. After determining the working capital, overall levels of working capital, you have to decide how much of this you need in cash. And towards the end, you have to review value of your current assets as shown in the projected balance sheet. You have to reduce your profit element, non-cash expense of depreciation, to arrive at the cash cost of current asset. The second step is to reduce from total trade payables and unpaid expenses to arrive at a cash requirement. So to summarize, working capital management is always concerned, a seesaw battle arises in attempting to manage current assets, current liability and interrelationship that exists between them. It is very critical because investment in current assets represents a substantial portion of funds blocked in total assets. And more importantly, there is very little time available to analyze data and arrange correct financial and arrive at a correct financial decision to vary the amount. By definition, current assets are expected to be self-liquidating, but they are not. And as the business grows, you add items held in inventory, you add items held at locations, and thus you increase the inventory level forever. And part, we have to very much look at it again, that part of your inventory does not self-liquidate because of changing patterns of manufacture and customer demands. When new customers are added, each one has certain trade receivables throughout the year. The incremental level is termed as permanent current assets. To forecast the working capital requirement with a high degree of accuracy, it is necessary that the finance head collaborates with all the other managers, primarily the marketing and the materials manager, so that you have an overview of both the procurement and the sales cycle. And to come to a conservative working capital management, you have to have higher levels of current assets, so zero stock out, but you also have downside in increase in bad debts and obsolete stocks and larger doubtful debts. You could have a restrictive working capital where you lower the current asset, but you may lose some customers because you don't have the material in stock to be delivered. So it's balancing both of it. The overall volume of working capital is determined by factors like which business you are, the organization structure that you have, the production cycle, business cycle, whether you work on capacity utilization concept, what is your credit policy, what are your growth and expansion plans, availability of raw materials, and your earning capacity. Normally, a fixed and permanent working capital is financed through long-term debt or equity, and self-liquidating working capital by short-term finances like bank loans. With that, we come to the end of this chapter. Thank you.